my friends, my family, they were all there for me. And I'm a fighter, I guess. I just kept putting one foot in front of the other.
You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are Beyond Athletic.
Hey guys, thanks for coming back and listening again. Today's episode is actually really interesting. I had so much fun recording this, and actually, after the interview, talking with Carly. Carly Wolpat is the guest today. She is a volleyball player. She played for Team USA. She played at Stanford. She plays middle blocker and currently is finishing up her season in Ankara, Turkey, where there are some terrible things happening, like in too many places around the world, and it's become all too real and familiar for these players who are in these areas. Most recently, Belgium, Ankara so many times now, Istanbul, Paris, America, all over the world, you know how it is. So, really interesting to hear her story and just kind of speak to somebody right in the middle of all of this going on, with also all of the things that have happened to her in her life. I really think you're going to enjoy it because there's just so many different aspects of this young player that you could look at and just say, oh my gosh, that's so me. If you do, make sure you share it out. And before I get any more further into just talking about how much I loved recording this, I'm going to let you listen. So enjoy. Hey there, Carly.
Hey, Ryan.
So after a little bit of technical difficulties, we finally figured it out, or let's say I figured it out. You're doing great over there by yourself. You're just ready. My Mac decides to throw up on me sometimes, and that's just not a cool thing. But today we're just going to do an athlete case study with Carly and talk a little bit about her life and her journey until now, where she's at, and then her plans maybe in the future. So we're going to highlight some failures, some successes, some tools, some tips, some habits that she does all the time. And then, of course, when this goes live on our podcast, it's going to be on iTunes, and you'll be able to have a show note link there where you'll see every single thing we talked about. Plus, you'll see some bonuses, some books she's really liked, some projects she's a part of, things like that. And I hope that you'll share that out, but also subscribe in iTunes. So, welcome to the show, everyone. Today's guest is Carly Wolpat. She's joining us from Ankara in Turkey. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Great. I wanted to first intro you before you tell your side of the, let's say, story. But briefly, you're from Santa Barbara, California, which is incredible. The sand is super deep there, so if anybody wants to play beach volleyball there, trust me, you jump less. You had two younger brothers, Jackson and Eli, and a twin sister, which I didn't even know until I saw this the other day. Samantha, who goes by Sam, she passed away 4 years ago when you were 19. Your parents are Ron and Kathy. You grew up playing a ton of sports, which we're definitely going to talk about. And you discovered volleyball was your passion, which we have in common. You love learning and discovering. You went to Stanford University, which is an amazing school. That campus is incredible. Anybody who gets to visit there, please go see that campus. It's incredible, really. You graduated 2014 with a degree in human biology, and you are concentrated in human performance and behavior. And so you started off your pro career, and I'll throw in there, you also played for Team USA a bit, and you started off your career in Cannes, which is in the French Riviera, an amazing area. You love to live in these just beautiful, beautiful places.
Yes.
And now you're in Ankara, right?
Yes. Yep.
So what I want you to do is I want you to take it away and just give people a snapshot of your life, like those highlights along the way, you know, born, your brothers, your sister, and then get into the different sports you played, highlight some of them, and then how you even learned about volleyball, the moment you were like, oh, volleyball is an option, and then I'll take it from there.
Okay. So I was born October 13th, 1992. In Santa Barbara, and I was born with my twin, Samantha, and we grew up in Santa Barbara, so it is probably my favorite place in the world. It's home to me. We had a really fun and crazy childhood. My parents, we weren't allowed to watch TV on weekdays, and my parents were just kind of against technology in general. So we had to go outside and play. And I also have two younger brothers, Jackson, who is 2 years younger than me. He's 20 right now. And Eli, who is 18 at the moment. So we would just all go outside and play. And I got involved in basketball at a really young age, probably 5 years old. Actually, my first sport was probably gymnastics. I think I started when I was 3 with Sam. And then I started doing basketball. We did track and field. We did all types of dance classes through elementary school, like tap dance, some ballet, hip-hop. Yeah. And then around 10 years old, was the first time I started playing volleyball. We got involved with a grass volleyball league, and basically you were allowed to catch the ball and throw it back over the net. It was just for fun, learning like basic volleyball skills. But then my elementary school PE teacher, Tina Brown, she started an after-school volleyball team with me and a bunch of other girls in my grade who were also very athletic. And that's when we really started to compete and play volleyball competitively. Then 12 years old was when I first started playing on the Santa Barbara club volleyball team. And from there it sort of took off. But I continued playing other sports all the way through high school. I played basketball and track and field. So I was actually a 3-sport high school athlete.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it was definitely, I was very busy.
That's a tough load. Yeah, that's so much.
Yes. And also I was in the engineering academy at Dos Pueblos High School. So my senior year especially was super busy because after I would wake up in the morning, go to school. After school, I would work with the engineering academy. We were building a robot, which we would take to competitions and compete with. And then I'd go to track and field practice or basketball practice. And then I'd go to club volleyball practice. And then I'd get home at 9 p.m., do all my homework and go to sleep. So senior year was pretty crazy. But I knew, I think around freshman year of high school, I heard the name Stanford. And I just knew it was a prestigious school. It has a big name. And I thought, wow, it would be so cool to be able to go to a school like Stanford, but I never really thought I would be able to get to go. And then around sophomore year of high school, I started to realize that I was pretty good at this volleyball thing. And I think a pivotal moment was when I was a sophomore. I think I was 16 or 15, I can't remember. 15 years old, and I got moved up to the 18-year-old club team. So I started getting seen by college recruiters at a really young age, and that was really big for me because Stanford saw me, and I actually reached out to them.
That's a nice bit of info, actually.
Yeah. So that got the whole recruiting process going. And
now you're here.
Yeah.
We're going to fill in some of those missing pieces, but I want to take it away from you just for a little bit, because I think what you just did is you painted the perfect picture for everybody to really understand your journey from birth until where you really took off into one of your strongest passions, right? That's led you to where you are today, which is playing internationally a sport where in America, really, it's only popular in California. Illinois, we like to say it's popular, but people still, for instance, my junior year of high school, someone came to me and was just like, a buddy actually I had met in middle school. And he's like, do you want to try out for volleyball? I was like, Volleyball. Wait. And yeah. Literally, I have a clip in my head running of the only volleyball I can think of. And it's the scene from Top Gun where they're playing beach volleyball.
Oh, my God.
And I literally, that's all I could think of. You know, Tom Cruise diving in the sand. Of course, he probably never dove at all. But it's funny that volleyball is such a huge sport around the world. And yet in America, it's not that big. And here you are. So what I want to do before we talk a little bit about some of the highlights and lowlights, which I consider to actually be highlights too, because those are the biggest learning moments that you have when you have these so-called failures or moments where things just seem to be really, really a struggle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what I'd like to do is you put down, I ask everyone like for a motto or a quote. And I would love it if you could share that with us now, just to give a little tone to the things that you believe in from these things that you picked up in your past to where your mindset is now.
Okay. Well, there's this poem by William Ernest Henley called Invictus. And the last stanza is, "It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." That's what you're referring to, right?
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
So I first read this poem, I think, my sophomore year after my sister passed away, and it just really struck a chord with me because I realized that I am in control of my life, and life is hard. There's struggles, there's suffering, but you keep getting back up, you keep moving forward, and it just sort of empowered me. And I've sort of used it as a life motto since.
Yeah. I do love it. And I know the poem. I wish, actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to link up that full poem in the show notes when that goes live on beyondathletic.com. So thank you for sharing that. Share a moment. Take us back. I don't want you to be brief here in terms of like the details, the juiciness that makes us feel like if it was hot, we want to know. If it was cold, we want to know. But take us back to a moment in your life. Doesn't matter what type of the situation it is, in sport, out of sport, where you consider it to be one of the largest struggles of your life or failures. It doesn't matter either one. But take us back to that, explain what happened, and then tell us your takeaway from that, moving forward, what you took with you to keep going.
Okay. Should I talk about a time I failed in sports or like a big obstacle?
It's up to you. It's totally up to you. We want to know whatever obstacle it was, sport or life.
Okay. We'll go with the big one.
Okay.
So as I previously mentioned, at a young age, I learned that this world it's a beautiful and wonderful thing, but it's also full of tragedy and loss. And I lost my twin sister, Sam, the winter of our 19th year by an unexpected suicide. She had been struggling with depression. So Sam was, she was a beautiful person through and through. Anyone who knew her knows that she had such a kind heart, a sweet smile, a great sense of humor. We did everything together growing up, and it's a different dynamic having a twin. You just have this companion by your side your entire life, ever since you were in the womb together, basically. Mm-hmm. So losing her was devastating. Everything I knew basically came crumbling down. It was, we were both at Stanford. It was our sophomore year. And it was like a huge piece of myself was suddenly ripped out and lost forever. And the scary thing is that void can never be filled. She can never be replaced. So when someone that close to you leaves your life, you will never be the same person again. And that is one of the most difficult things to accept, that things will simply never be as they were. Mm-hmm. But I realized you get to decide whether you cower from life, whether you fight everything uselessly, or you embrace it. You get to decide how it changes you. So I began the journey of finding my footing in life again, and I did so rather fearlessly, actually. My family and friends, and even people I don't know, provided endless love and support, and I don't know what I would have done without them. I certainly wouldn't be here in the position I am today. The one thing I knew afterwards was that I needed to continue playing volleyball. But the difficult thing was that I had knee surgery probably 2 weeks after her passing. My right patellar tendon had split, and so they went in and cleaned up the whole knee, but it required a really long recovery. So my whole spring quarter of my sophomore year, I started out in a wheelchair and then crutches, and I grew up being always very active. So now not only was I mentally and emotionally kind of in pieces, I was physically in pieces, just brought all the way back down to the bottom. And it was really difficult. I struggled a lot, but my friends, my family, they were all there for me. And I'm a fighter, I guess. I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. And by the start of my junior year, I was healthy again, physically. And I decided that I wanted to live life in her memory, so for the both of us. And that was empowering. So every time I stepped on the court from then on, I was playing for her and myself. And that's actually what I continue to do now. So the Stanford volleyball program is like my second family, and they supported me throughout this all and handled her loss with so much dignity and grace. We designated the 2013 season, which was my junior year, to Sam, mm-hmm. and had SW, which are her initials, embroidered on the side of our spandex. So the whole team and coaching staff was with me through it all. And
that's wonderful.
Yeah. I will never really be able to express how truly thankful I am for that.
And support.
I also would like to thank John Dunning, Denise Corlett, and Solomon Hughes, who was my academic advisor. Basically, everybody at Stanford who helped me graduate on time with a degree in human biology, because I definitely struggled, especially the first quarter coming back after Saint's passing. I wanted to stay at Stanford and I wanted to stay in school, but the university gave me pardon and let me take not the required amount of units, because I couldn't sit still. My mind was all over the place and I had to keep moving and being with friends. But one of the things I remember that really saved me was this sculpture class I was enrolled in. And mm-hmm. I could go in and I would just spend hours working on projects and building things. And I found an outlet through an outlet of self-expression through art. And I also wrote a lot, poetry specifically. I taught myself how to play guitar. I took up photography. So from there on out, and I've continued these things in my life, I just really learned how to express myself and get like emotions and feelings out through different types of media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And wonderful. I was lucky.
Thank you
lucky
for sharing
enough.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it's touching. And I mean, all of it is touching. The fact that we have so much opportunity for love in this world, no matter what happens. And people come out of everywhere to help other people. It doesn't matter if they feel like they're good or bad or whatever. And so I'm like speechless, because all of the people that you mentioned and the way that you talk about you had this second family and how you're thankful for them. And then it's like, I'm thankful for these specific people, but really it's for all of them. And I think yes. that they feel that message when they'll hear this, you know, and see this. So I'm glad that you got a chance to share that. And your takeaways, I think, are so important for people out there to know that you can find strength and move forward, you know, and there's different outlets, and it's okay to have a period where, you know, you're not okay, and you take more support on from other people until you can walk and run, right, and fly.
Yes, exactly.
So I love that you're there. I think there's a couple of things that I would like to touch on. Maybe when we're done, it'd be cool if you could share something, if you feel like it, that's that could be either your poetry or the guitar. I don't know if you also sing. I had a teammate, Brad. I'm sure you know him.
Brad Lawson.
Brad from, yeah.
Yes.
That
he's kid's one of my
got
buddies.
Hype.
Yeah. He's actually pursuing singing.
Yeah. Buddy, go home. I have a Boston Terrier. He wants to come out and shake and get all loud, so it's not gonna happen. Sorry, little guy. I saw that he packed up everything and moved back to Cali to
yeah.
pursue it. And I'm so proud of him. I want him on the show. So you better reach out to him and be like, Brian needs you on that show. Get on that show. He knows.
Okay.
So yes, I just want people to realize that there's strength in the people around you. You can utilize them. There's also strength in finding new ways to create outlets. And then volleyball obviously was a huge factor in that. And then having the injury right after, you know, when things kind of like combine, you know, they multiply exponentially. Sometimes it could just become overwhelming, but you made it through and that's special. You're here today. So I'm grateful for all those people in your life too and your courage. So what I'd like to do. Yeah. My pleasure. Is talk about really quick, because this is a great segue. Mentors, mentorship, support, networks, things like that. They're vital. We just heard exactly why. And so what I'd like to do is shift it towards volleyball even more so now with this mentorship part, because now we understand this personal, right? But in your volleyball life, who have been some of the key mentors? So we're not saying like they're the top ones, but key vital people in your role from, you know, high school, college, into pro now.
There's been so many people. It's difficult to choose. Key person for me was my club coach, Liz Town Gilbert. And she's actually the one who pulled me up when I was 15, pulled me up to the 18-year-old club team because she saw something in me. She saw that I could play at a high level. And she's just been there for me ever since. She's followed my career at Stanford, and she's not only a great coach, but great person. And she taught me a lot of good life skills. Another key mentor, I don't know, I guess I'd say idol, is Carrie Walsh. She also attended Stanford University, and she played indoor first and then made the transition to beach volleyball, which is what I would like to do at some point. And she's just, I love the way she's so positive and spreads so much happiness and light to everyone. So I definitely look up to the way she handles and carries herself. And then last mentor, more for, I guess, my character, is my father, my dad. He grew up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin with 8 brothers. And
woohoo, Midwest.
Yeah. He was one of 2 people in his high school to go on to college. And he went to a community college first and then transferred to UCSB. He became one of the top decathletes in the USA. He was on the national team and competed in Olympic trials. He started from just a very humble beginning, and you can see it in his character now. He's just so hardworking, humble. He does nice things for people without you even asking, just kind of like behind the scenes. And there's just a lot about him that I used to model for myself and how I would like to carry myself, especially with sports and
some keys that I want to pull out from these people is that the way you mentioned it is you talked about how, for instance, your father for character and Carrie for this and your coach, because she saw something in you and that empowered you, you know, to have this courage and fight. I think that's really key, that people understand that different mentors are going to bring different things to the table, and we have to be open to that. And I think it's best if we enter these situations, these relationships, if you will, with an open mind and an open heart. And obviously we receive the messages humbly and without judgment, right? Because these people they've been where we want to be, or they are, you know, they're doing what we're doing, for instance, because mentors can be also your peers, people that inspire you. So I think that that's really important that people understand that. And I love that you highlighted that those were different situations. What I'd like to do now is transition into successes that you deem successes. So success is different for everyone, right?
Yes.
I think that if you could share with us a moment now where you feel that you accomplished something that you had been trying to accomplish for so long, share with us that moment, what it was, the moment where you realized that, if it was a goal, great. If it was a vision, great.
And then tell us your takeaways moving forward from that.
Okay. Well, let's see. I think one of my biggest dreams growing up was to play on the national team and play volleyball professionally. I always would look up to these girls playing at the highest level and try to imagine myself in their position. And it's impossible when you're that young. It seems like a dream. But I just kept climbing that ladder. And after I finished my senior season at Stanford, I started getting contacted by some agents and some club teams. And I realized that I could do this. I could play professionally. And it was becoming a reality. And it was sort of at that moment when I realized that everything had built up to this moment. I also, my junior and senior year in college, I got invited to train with the USA national team. And that was such an honor. And I was just beyond thrilled, so excited to be able to be in the gym with these legends and these volleyball players who are the best in the world, in my opinion. And I also got to train and get coaching advice from Karch and even Mark Dunphy. He was in there in the gym a couple times this past summer.
He's amazing.
So yeah, he's an amazing coach. I love being in the USA gym and getting that opportunity. So I would say that's probably one of my biggest accomplishments, is moving up the ladder to being a professional volleyball player and being able to train and compete with the national team. And I still have a ways to go, which is why it's kind of difficult to choose a biggest accomplishment, because I feel like I'm still progressing. I'm not
there
yet.
You're still on that path. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. So I hopefully will continue playing overseas for as long as I can, and go to at least one Olympic Games. And my ultimate dream is to, at some point, then switch to beach volleyball and play in the Olympics for beach as well. So
I love this dream.
Yes,
I like this dream. We have one more thing in common, because that's definitely been a goal of mine, and I'm still on that journey. And at 35, I'm still going for it. So you better be going for it.
Yes.
So many more chances. Thank you for sharing that. And what I would say, one of the takeaways for me from that, how you spoke and you painted this picture of a ladder, right? That you started your journey here. You knew peg number one was, you know, play for a club. Peg number two was play for, you know, college. And so, getting to the national team, for people out there that don't understand that process, I mean, it's incredible to be selected for one of the top, let's say, 24 or 18 or 12 players in the USA, because yes, we are the best team right now, and we have been so often in the past. And so really, if you get there, it's not just saying that you're one of the best in America. It's saying you are one of the best in the world. So Carly, you are one of the best in the world. And that's incredible that you've come so far, you know. And for you to say, this is the takeaway for me. Yeah, I'm there. But I can't say that that's the biggest accomplishment, because I'm still on the path. Like, I feel like I haven't accomplished that thing that I'm really aiming for, which is to go to the Olympics in indoor and then also beach. So I think that's inspiring, and I think it's great that you aspire to such great achievements.
Thank you.
What I like to do now, no, for sure, it's incredible. I like doing this because you know what? I'm learning from you, and I'm also feeding off of your energy, and your passion is just bleeding through the mic right now. And the video, you can see, I mean, your joy and just love for this. So it inspires me. It makes me want to go in the gym. We have 3 days off, but I want to go in the gym.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the things that helped you get there. But before we do, what I'd like to say to anybody watching, if you have any questions for Carly, please go ahead and click the little Q&A on the left or the right, depending on which browser you're in, and just ask the questions there, and I will see them, and at the end, we can hit them up. So if you have anything, ask. If not, it's good. This is going to be on a podcast, and you can make comments all over that and share it when it launches on beyondathletic.com. So we all need to set up some kind of rituals, routines, habits, right, to duplicate successes and grow. And what I'd like to do is see if you could share some of your non-negotiables, right? These are things that you must do to keep yourself on your journey to becoming what you ultimately want to achieve, which is to be an Olympian. And I'm sure you don't want to just go to the Olympics. You want to go and win and do all that good stuff. So what are the little or big things that you just cannot not do?
Let's see. The first big one would have to be playing volleyball. So I don't really have an off season. I'm playing year round during the 9 months of indoor season. I'm overseas playing and training, and we train every day almost. So it really is a job, and it's a daily thing. It's a grind sometimes, but I do love it. And then in the summer I go home and I either train with the USA indoor national team, or I'm on the beach mm-hmm. playing beach volleyball. And I'm just an active person in general. So I love working out and going to the gym. I love doing outdoors activities, so hiking, surfing, backpacking, skateboarding, snowboarding, basically all the things that are dangerous.
all the cool stuff, the rad stuff.
Yeah, so I am always active and moving, and I like to have fun with workouts too. I like to swim. I like to switch it up and do cross training. So being active is a really big part of my lifestyle, and for my family as well. They're not as intense as I am, I would say, but I try to get them to join me. Like go do hot yoga. I got my mom doing hot yoga at this gym, and she loves it now. I even got my dad to come in a couple times. And so being active, and then also hand in hand with that, I think, is nutrition. And I majored in human biology with a concentration in human performance. Mm-hmm. So some of the classes I took were on sports nutrition and those sort of biological pathways. So I learned a lot, but there's a difference between kind of learning in school and then learning on your own. And this last year when I was in France, I really got into learning about nutrition, because I remember just eating and being like, what exactly is going on with this food that I'm putting in my body? I want to know everything down to the last detail. So I started doing a lot of self-research, and I've just sort of progressed from there and used myself as an experiment, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
with especially like macronutrients, like carbohydrates and fats and proteins. And basically, I guess I would just say I eat mostly plants and animals. And yeah.
Yeah. I want to pull out those major things from that, from these things that you like to do, your non-negotiable. So correct me if I'm wrong, but it's volleyball, stay yes. active in multiple ways. And yes. I think that's vital that people understand that this actually plays a role in how you develop in your sport. If you were to just do volleyball all the time, volleyball, and even if it was beach volleyball, it would add to your game indoor, right? Because it's a variety of volleyball. It's going to bring something different to the table when you come back indoor and vice versa. But doing multiple things is bringing in different aspects. How do you, you know, for instance, when you're rowing, or kayaking, or when you're swimming, these sliding movements, or when you're doing, like, for instance, you said you did gymnastics in the past. I'm sure that you probably mess around and, you know, do some flipping and whatever at some point in your life when you're yes. doing these extreme things. Snowboarding, for instance, takes a lot of balance. If you're doing any tricks, then you're learning how to rotate from the core and all that kind of good stuff. But you're definitely stabilizing your core the whole time. Vision from the different types of things you're seeing. And I love this book that I've been reading on becoming Superman. And it talks about entering states of flow, and that extreme sports bring out these states of flow so much more often because they have these certain elements in place all the time, which are those natural elements, obviously. But these things challenge us to focus in so much more. And that skill alone, the focus that comes from being so intent and so aware of your surroundings and your movement patterns, is something that will benefit you in your primary sport also. So volleyball, multiple things, and then last is you like to self-educate. And I think that's huge. That allows you to continually grow. And so I have something to give to you. There's two things I thought of when you were talking. Self-experimentation, you've got to read Tim Ferriss's book if you haven't. The 4-Hour Body.
Yes.
The 4-Hour Body. Read that one first, because okay. I think every athlete should read the 4-Hour Work Week, because that teaches you, it's not literal, people. It's just a great title. It's genius because it teaches you how to utilize your time much more efficiently and effectively. But it also teaches people how to be entrepreneurs and how to use the skills that we learn every single day as athletes in the real world and apply them, because you know what? This is not the end all be all. We have to do something when we can't do sport anymore. And then the second thing, to deal with nutrition and nerding out, because I can tell you like to nerd out, and that's yeah. cool. I do too. Sean Stevenson, he was on the show. You've got to hear his episode on how to sleep better. I can't remember the exact title, but it was amazing. He's got a book that's actually relaunching now called Sleep Smarter. But this guy is a huge nerd in terms of like, he loves nutrients and like, what is this? And if I put this in my body, what is it going to do? Right.
Yeah.
So go listen to his podcast. It's the Model Health Show.
Okay.
Model as in like modeling fashion, but the Model Health Show. So he nerds out, but he has a great ability to translate it for the common person or for somebody who's just like not always wanting to be so nerdy. And okay. Tim Ferriss has the exact same, quality. Huge nerd, but he writes so well. Thanks for sharing that. What I like to do now, we're sort of wrapping up here. I know people watching, don't worry, you're going to hear all the little things that she likes to do and read and eat on the go, things like that. You're going to be able to pick up in the show notes. And once again, you'll be able to go get that by going to beyondathletic.com. Hit subscribe So you know when her episode launches, and then you'll see the blog post there, but also in iTunes if you're subscribed and it comes out, you will be able to click the cover note, the cover picture with Carly, whichever great picture we're going to choose. And there, when it flips, you're going to see a link to her show notes. So you'll see all that good, juicy stuff. What do you consider the most important things to do for preparing for your next matches, preparing for your next goals in whatever season you're in, whether that's pro indoor or national team in the summer, or even beach volleyball? Because if you're anything like me, and I know you are already because you talked about it, your intensity, excuse me. When you play beach volleyball, even if you're not competing at, you know, AVP events, I'm sure that you're taking it seriously when you are playing a serious match and you have a goal to do certain things. So how do you keep yourself healthy and on that path? Just highlight one or two ways.
First, I've learned this the hard way, but I've learned that recovery is really important. And that means taking care of your body after training with foam rolling or ice bath or massage, nutrition. I've recently actually gotten into taking cold showers after training because we don't have a ice bath actually, but you've heard of Ben Greenfield.
She's on the podcast. Yeah. Did you not go to my podcast to hear these episodes?
I did. I saw that you had him on the show, and I listened to his stuff, and he's a big proponent of cold showers and what it can just do for your central nervous system and body and stuff. So I've gotten a lot better at recovering well. And a second thing I think is finding coaches and mentors to help me along the way, because I can be kind of stubborn and think I can do everything on my own. But really, you need to find other people who have been there before and also have different ideas and know more than you. So for beach especially, I need to find... I've gotten some help, but I need to find some good coaches and people to train with, especially this summer is my goal. So
that's gonna be really tough, Carly, considering that your indoor coach is one of the best beach players of all time, and then you have Carrie, who is one of the best beach volleyballs of all time, both on your list of possible coaches. No, it's fortunate, and I'm glad that you shared those things. Let's get to a couple more things before we give people ways to follow you on your journey and connect with you. But first, I know that you talked about that you like to give back and you're involved in some projects, and I'm grateful for the fact that you said that you're definitely interested in working with Beyond Athletic and Elite Sports Students, the project that I have where we're basically trying to teach kids from a young age how to build the proper foundation. And the proper foundation means the proper foundation for health. And in that, being healthy means that you have four different tanks as full as possible all the time. And that's going to be the obvious one, physical, right? So that includes what you're putting in your body, how you're allowing your body to recover, so sleep, nutrition, all of these things, okay? Working out, all that stuff. Then there's emotional, then there's psychological, and then there's social health. So these four different pillars of health are so important. And if we can get kids from a young age to understand that, hey, you need these four, it's like if you're going to sit on a chair, are you going to sit on a chair with three legs that should have four? No. It won't work. So if we can teach these to kids at a young age, then they can grow faster. If we can also teach them the benefits of mentorship and how mentorship is give and take, you should be mentored and mentoring, because this is going to help everyone grow. So I'm glad you're going to be a part of that. And I really want to talk about this, but Carly had a great idea to document Pro's life. And I think that that's perfect, because it's something that I wanted to do. So I hope that we'll work together on some ideas back and forth, because once again, we don't know everything. And I have the same stubborn quality as you. Sometimes in my strength, I find my weakness, right? So before we do get to that last little part, a couple things. What is the one tip that you would give to athletes in your position for your sport, the one tip and why, briefly? And then what is the advice you would give to your younger you, let's say the 17-year-old you, and why? And both of those, try and keep them brief, and then we'll give people a way to connect with you. We'll find out what you think Beyond Athletic means to in your world, and then we'll say goodbye.
Okay. The advice I would give to people in my exact same position now, or I guess just athletes in general, is to not let your performance define you. And what I mean by that is, especially when you get to the professional level, where volleyball for me is kind of my life. Like, I wake up, I train, I play volleyball. Everything is surrounding my sport. It can kind of overtake your mind and just everything you do. So when I play matches, and when I say lose a match or don't perform as well as I wish, it feels really big. And you feel really bad about yourself. And I have to remind myself that my performance does not define me. It does not define me as a person. And because I play poorly one match, that doesn't mean I'm a bad person. The lines can kind of start to blur as you get to this level, and as you start to really identify yourself with your sport. And that's something I've had to learn. But you can also break it down to helping you in the middle of a match. If you make a mistake, say you hit a ball out, don't mentally tell yourself, oh, I'm a bad hitter, I'm going to make more mistakes. No, you got to tell yourself, I just made a mistake in that moment, but I'm still a great attacker. So you're not letting your performance in that moment define yourself or take over your whole being.
Great advice.
That's advice I'd have for people in my place. And then advice to my 17-year-old self. Is that the second part?
Yes, go ahead and speak to yourself.
That's a difficult one. I would just say follow your passions, and don't worry about going the route that society has set up for youth today, because everybody has different opinions about how kids should transition from elementary school to junior high to high school to college and this whole career path. But that one way is not right for everyone. And each person kind of has their own journey, in that just because yours is different doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just yours.
Powerful stuff there. Love it. Getting deep here on Beyond Athletic this time. I love it. So what I'd like to do now is throw this question at you. But before I do, and then I will say goodbye after that, I'd like you to give people ways they can follow you on your journey If you have website or blog, anything like that, social media, that good stuff. And let people know if it's all right for them, let's say younger athlete, trying to do what you're doing, that they reach out to you or not.
Okay. Well, my Instagram handle is Carly Wopat. The same for my Twitter. You can find me at Carly Wopat. You can also find me on Facebook. I'm currently making a fan page by Ryan's suggestion. I also have a blog. It's called volleyballsandwaterfalls.wordpress.com. So you can find me there. And, oh, I have Snapchat if you want the inside peek to my daily weird life at some times. and my Snapchat is Carwo, so CARWO. I think that's about it, but please feel free to reach out to me. Oh, my email is carwopat@gmail.com. And you can contact me in any way with questions, with, I don't know, if you just want to chat or say hi. Yeah.
Wonderful. And the last question, in your opinion, what does it mean to be beyond athletic in this world that we live in now?
I think beyond athletic means, actually, I was talking to my mom about this. it means not just being an amazing athlete, but having skills and passions and hobbies and things outside of athletics. And it's really starting to grow. I think people, athletes being beyond athletic, like you with this podcast and your elite volleyball agency, I think it's amazing that you can balance and juggle all these things at the same time. Because first of all, being an athlete at this level is a huge feat in itself. And then having other skills and doing other things as well, I think is amazing. And I think that's what it means to be beyond athletic.
Thank you for sharing, and thank you for the compliment. I also wanted to just take a quick moment before I say bye to everyone to say that I had you on the show because I just noticed a few things that stood out to me, and it just felt like I really should ask you to be on the show, not knowing a ton about your past or anything like that. And it's just so great to know that now I've started this podcast, right? And this is year one. There's been over 17,000 listens in over 75 countries, which is incredible. And there's no marketing for it. I love the power of word of mouth. And I love the power of communication. And I wasn't always like someone who would speak to other people so much. I was very much so in my own shell, trying to take care of my own wounds and be as strong as I could be for me, you know, and not letting people in. And when I realized that finding out more about people and sharing my journey with them also, while I hear their journey, is powerful. And what I heard today and what I found out about you so far is inspiring. I just want to acknowledge you for the person, the athlete, the artist, so many things, the friend, the daughter that you are, because you are unique and you are special. Everyone is in their own way. But today I think people found out a lot of great things about you and really how truly strong and empowered you are. So thank you so much for being so honest and courageous and sharing that stuff on today's show.
Thank you, Ryan. I'm honored.
And thank everybody else out there for listening. If you like this episode, make sure that you share this with a friend. If this made you think of even one person, email it to them, SMS, I don't care, whichever, write a note, old school. But get it to them. Share this message. Don't keep it. Okay? And until next time, enjoy yourselves, guys.
So there you have it. Great episode from Carly Wopat in Ankara, Turkey this year. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe. There are more coming every week, twice a week. Trying to release them on Tuesday or Wednesdays and Sundays. If you have comments about better days to try and release them for all athletes, you know, I would love to hear it. If you like this episode, if there's things that you think I could do to make this better, to, you know, change it up, to keep doing what I'm doing, communicate with me, please. The best way is in iTunes. Leave a review under Beyond Athletic. Go to iTunes, search for Beyond Athletic, and leave a review. All you gotta do is say whatever you got, rate it, you know, 1 to 5 stars. If you're commenting and rating, what happens is that you actually push the show up in the rankings in terms of sees what first. And my goal is to get to the top of these different categories for sports and whatever, because this is special. And Beyond Athletic's message needs to be pushed to as many athletes around the world. So thanks again for listening. Make sure you share, subscribe, do all that good stuff. And I'll see you back here soon.
So now I'm up in the courts, pleading my case from the witness box. Telling the judge and the jury the same thing that I said to the cops. On the day that I got arrested, I'm innocent, I protested. She just feels rejected.
What are we doing live? Echoes in eternity.
I'm gonna show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.